Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
I'm Brian Lehrer. This is my Daily Politics Podcast from WNYC Studios. It's Tuesday, October 26th. It is 1 week till Election Day, and there is a very interesting mayoral election taking place in New York right now, one that has national implications for democracy, equality, and the Democratic Party in America. The thing is, this very interesting New York mayoral race is in Buffalo, not New York City, where the election is unlikely to be close. For those of you who don't know this story, back in June, a nurse, an activist, and Democratic socialist, a Bernie Sanders supporter in the presidential races, India Walton, won the Democratic mayoral primary in Buffalo over the 16-year incumbent mayor, Byron Brown. That was interesting enough. Walton would be the first Democratic Socialist mayor of a major American city in decades, and she was expected at first to cruise to victory in the general election because, well, Republicans are not competitive in Buffalo. But what has happened since is the real story. Mayor Brown decided he would not accept the results of the Democratic primary and leave office. He is waging a write-in campaign for the voting that is now underway. Early voting began on Saturday. And even more shocking, many of New York's top Democrats have refused to endorse the Democratic nominee, Ms. Walton. That list includes Governor Hochul, her newly appointed Lieutenant Governor, Brian Benjamin, Attorney General Letitia James, Controller Tom DiNapoli, and infamously, the State Democratic Party Chair, Jay Jacobs, who said the party would be under no obligation to support its nominee if KKK leader David Duke won a primary, so it's under no obligation for India Walton. Nice comparison, right? Between David Duke and a working-class black woman running on an equality platform. In just a minute, we'll talk to Buffalo News political reporter Bob McCarthy. First, here's a clip of India Walton on this show back in July after she won the primary on centering poor people if she's elected because the rich will be okay.
I look forward to saying the rich people will be fine. We've given $1 billion in tax incentives to Elon Musk for an empty Tesla factory in Buffalo, right? Like that is the legacy that I am going to actively undo. And my pledge to my people is that I'm going to put poor people at the center of our policy making and also give them decision making power by co-governing and respecting the wishes of the people that actually are living this in real time and that have the problem. So I'm really excited.
India Walton here on July 6th. We'll hear more clips as we go. With us now, Buffalo News political reporter Bob McCarthy. Bob, thanks for joining us. Welcome back to WNYC.
Always good to be with you, Brian. Thanks for having me.
So for people who don't know anything about Buffalo, except maybe that the Bills are in first place, who is India Walton and how did she win the Democratic primary?
Well, that's a really good question because not a lot of people had heard of India Walton before late last year. And I think that I got a tip one day saying that this activist woman was planning to challenge the mayor in a primary and called her up and, yeah, I'm going to do that. And we'd known a little bit about her because she had been present at many of the anti-police demonstrations that cropped up in Buffalo as they did across the country last summer following the death of George Floyd in Minneapolis. And so we knew a little bit about her. She
and
was
just,
present
just to be fair,
a lot of
say
those events.
Anti-police. She would probably say anti-police brutality, right?
Yeah, that's what I mean, for sure, yeah. But she popped up at many of those demonstrations, bullhorn in hand, and that's probably the first we knew about her. She did emerge also as the director of a land trust that in the Fruit Belt area, which was threatened with gentrification as the burgeoning medical campus here was kind of seeping into that neighborhood. And so she was beginning to make a name for herself, but I would say that 99% of the people in Buffalo did not know her, and that has changed markedly since she won the Democratic primary in June.
Well, over the weekend, Senators Gillibrand and Schumer finally endorsed Walton. But am I up to date on the rest of this list? Governor Kathy Hochul, Attorney General Letitia James, Comptroller Tom DiNapoli, and Lieutenant Governor Brian Benjamin all have not endorsed their party's nominee for mayor of Buffalo?
Governor Kathy Hochul, I know, has not, and I'm not sure about the others. I'm not sure, to tell you the truth.
All right. And why would Hochul or anybody in those positions even be hesitant? Why would it have taken Schumer and Gillibrand this long and only under pressure from progressives in their party? Why isn't it a fait accompli or just a no-brainer, an obvious thing, a matter of routine that Democratic Party leadership endorses the Democratic nominee?
Well, that is the heart of what we're dealing with here, that not everybody in the Democratic Party is ready to sign on to this. We have a op-ed piece in our paper today written by Congressman Tom Suozzi, who has actually been up here campaigning for Mayor Brown, who says that the party should not be latching itself onto a socialist agenda. Jay Jacobs, the chairman of the State Democratic Committee, has also expressed the same sentiment that the party, that he is not ready to back a socialist for mayor of Buffalo. Others, such as the Erie County Democratic Party, others, such as Senators Schumer and Gillibrand, have said, we recognize and respect the decision of the primary voters in June, and we will therefore climb on board the Walton campaign. As far as the governor, we ask, and she just says, I'm not going to go there.
The Jay Jacobs remark, I have the audio, but I'm not going to play it because it's so offensive. I'll just quote it. And remember, his job is New York State Democratic Party chairman. He said, quote, let's take a scenario, very different, where David Duke, you remember him, the Grand Wizard of the KKK, he moves to New York, he becomes a Democrat, he runs for mayor in the city of Rochester, which is a low primary turnout, and he wins the Democratic line. I have to endorse David Duke? I don't think so, unquote, from State Democratic Party Chairman Jay Jacobs. So to be fair, he said David Duke would be a very different scenario. But why does he see David Duke and India Walton as similarly objectionable enough that that was the analogy he used?
Well, I don't know what was going through the chairman's mind on that. I won't speak for him. All I know is that that did spark a firestorm of protest around the state, including from Governor Hochul, who condemned the remark. You know, what made him say such a thing, I don't know.
I condemn the remark, but I won't endorse the Democratic nominee. So she has doubts about whether the nominee is too outside the bounds of what the governor considers politically acceptable, I guess. When they say socialist, when Tom Suozzi, for example, centrist Democratic member of Congress from Queens and Nassau County, says he doesn't want to endorse a socialist agenda, you mentioned police rallies or police anti-police brutality rallies. Hold those aside for a minute. When they talk about not being ready to endorse a socialist agenda, what does that mean to them in terms of economics?
What is her agenda? Is that what you're asking me?
No. What are they afraid of, those Democrats who won't endorse India Walton? What do they say?
Well, there are a lot of things in her platform which calls for, community land trusts that she was involved in, for using public land for that vacant public land for the public good. She proposes a $7.5 million reduction in the police department budget, which the mayor has claimed will result in the firing of 100 police officers right off the bat, and you're talking about a force of about 750 people. She does not say that any of those people will be fired. India Walton says that she will achieve those savings through attrition. She also sees the need for vast reforms in policing here in the city, in such as domestic disputes. Maybe they should be handled by mental health counselors, she says. Maybe that's not the kind of thing that police officers should be responding to, and maybe some of the people who will eventually not be working for the police department might be working in mental health capacities. The mayor will say that his police department has made many of these accommodations, especially since George Floyd's death. But those are the kinds of things that are beginning to cause some concern among some people like Tom Suozzi, among the other people who have not jumped up aboard her candidacy.
You cover Buffalo politics, not necessarily other things around the state, but to your knowledge, if you've looked at it, how often, if ever, has this happened before, that the Democratic Party leadership in New York, including many of the top elected officials, like governor and attorney general, declined to back the nominee for any major office?
Very seldom, Brian. I can tell you that it did happen one time in the 1960s in a mayoral situation regarding Mayor Frank Sedita, who was kind of a legendary mayor way before my time. But it did happen where the Democratic leadership did not honor the wishes of the Democratic voters in a primary. But that's a very rare occurrence. And in this instance, the Erie County Democratic Party had been backing Mayor Brown for reelection. He won their endorsement before the primary. But immediately after the primary, the next day, Chairman Jeremy Zellner said, I must respect the wishes of the Democratic Party voters here, even though it was a very, very small percentage of not only the party, but the whole electorate of the city. And he said, nope, this is it. This is the primary voters have spoken. She's the nominee of the Democratic Party, and that's where the Erie County Democratic Committee will be. So it is a very rare situation, I think, where even this kind of a thing happens. And remember, Byron Brown is the immediate past chairman of the New York State Democratic Committee. So this thing is pretty, has a lot of implications for Democrats around the state.
And here's another clip of India Walton on this show in July, just after Mayor Brown announced he would launch that write-in campaign after losing the primary.
I'm not surprised. I know the current mayor, and I'm not shocked. I'm not really shocked. I think that it's more disrespectful to the voters because during the primary election, he really didn't campaign. He refused to debate me. Buffalo's the third poorest nation of the third poorest city of its size in the nation. And frankly, he's had 16 years to do something and nothing has been done. And I think that is the message that is resonating with the voters. It's time for something new and something better and bold and visionary ideas. That's just it, right? He's got a record and it's not too great, and everyone knows it.
So that's part of Walton's take on Brown's record, speaking here in July. Here's part of Brown's defense in a televised debate they held last month.
We cut taxes by 16%. We created over 2,200 units of new affordable housing. We expanded youth employment and youth job opportunities and hired the most diverse workforce in the history of the city of Buffalo.
Byron Brown from the debate with India Walton. Bob McCarthy, veteran political reporter for the Buffalo News, is our guest. How would you begin to describe Mayor Brown's record? I see your latest article includes in the headline, "Some wonder if Byron Brown's shelf life has expired. What did you mean by that, and how would you begin to communicate to people around the country watching this race for its national implications what his record was?
Well, I think that right there is the mayor's most glaring problem, the fact that he has been the mayor for four terms. Only Jim Griffin also won four terms. Nobody else has ever served five terms. And that's one of the problems. And it's one of the things that's an old political axiom, as you know, that especially among executive positions like mayor, that you have a shelf life, that your expiration date expires, and that you and that voters need to look for somebody else, and they seek somebody else. And that's a major part of what's going on here. He will talk about all of those things that you just played, all of the accomplishments that he believes has happened under his administration. And, you know, there have been some good things that have been going on here. The city has noted its first increase in population since the 1950 census, and that's huge. And there's a lot that are going on downtown and a lot of development that have made it a very attractive city these days. India Walton will say that, okay, we have some progress, but he hasn't done enough. And he hasn't looked at the areas of the city that are indeed very poor. It is the third poorest city in America, and that's still a problem. And so what she is trying to do is to get a reallocation of resources to the neighborhoods, which is, I think, a perennial type of debate that goes on in mayoral elections, at least in this city, about whether or not there has been enough. And enough attention paid in some of these poor areas and in programs that might lift up people to contribute to the economy in that way. And she has been mostly critical of the mayor for his working closely with developers and allowing them to call a lot of the shots, is the way she puts it. So that's kind of in a nutshell. And you mentioned that debate. She looked at him at one point in the debate and said, "I don't even know what you're doing here," because he was not on the ballot. And the only way that he is going to get there is by writing in, and there's all kinds of difficulties associated with that.
So let me ask you this. Both candidates are black, though one is a man and one is a woman. How much are race or gender factors in these campaigns, explicitly or otherwise, as far as you can report?
You know, that's a very interesting question, because when Byron Brown ran for mayor the first time 16 years ago, he did it with the possibility of becoming the city's first black mayor, which he did. But since then, I don't really see race as being any kind of a factor in this situation. I did a story about the Delaware district in the city, which is the most affluent and used to be referred to as the silk stocking council district in the city. And it was very much split, I think, between the two candidates. But the point is that Delaware had, especially in recent years, a very white district, had come to support Mayor Brown with pretty healthy results during the last elections. And I just have not seen race become an issue in this in any way. And even in other mostly white districts, I would say that it just hasn't raised itself as an issue.
Last question. Do you think, and I did ask about gender also. I mean, is India Walton running on this at all? I haven't been following the race closely, but I could imagine her saying, you know, not everybody who's black really supports the policies that are going to most benefit black people. And then there's the question of gender.
India Walton would be the first woman to be mayor of Buffalo. And there are many women who are excited about that. And so I think only in that aspect has it become an issue, but I have not heard anybody disparaging her or I haven't heard the mayor disparaging her as a woman candidate or anything like that. But I will tell you that, yeah, there's a lot of women in this city who think that's pretty cool, and they would like to see a woman occupy that big office on the second floor of City Hall.
Right. But as far as you know, Walton isn't calling out what she might see as implicit bias against her as a woman, anything like that, not a factor in the campaign?
Not anything major that has really jumped into the headlines, no.
Last question. Do you think this race has national implications?
Yes, I do, Brian, because, first of all, it's gotten very focused attention from many newspapers and TV and radio from around the country and even outside the country. It's the possibility of a socialist mayor being elected for the first time in a American city of consequence since Milwaukee in the late 1950s. So this is kind of important stuff. And as I wrote in a story that we had on Sunday, that it is a battle for Buffalo's political soul. It will tell us whether or not it is the old Buffalo, a Democratic city made up of ethnic conservative Democrats who, you know, maybe really didn't follow that kind of thing, or whether it will be an AOC situation where the city has changed and where now there are younger people and immigrants who are more interested in the kind of Democratic politics offered by India Walton. So when these results become apparent next week, you know, it's going to tell us a lot about the city, and it's going to maybe tell us a lot about where the Democratic Party is in a place like Buffalo.
I think that's right. And by the way, just for clarity, we've been clarifying this since June when India Walton and the Buffalo mayor's race broke into the headlines. People always say she would be the first Democratic socialist mayor of a major American city in decades. And then listeners pop up and they say, wait, Bernie Sanders. But by the way these things are usually measured and reported, Burlington is small enough that it's not considered a major American city, and that's why that language is used. But yes, obviously Bernie Sanders was mayor of an American city. We thank Bob McCarthy, political reporter for the Buffalo News. Bob, thank you so much. We really appreciate it.
You're welcome. Good to be with you.
Brian Lehrer, a daily politics podcast, is an excerpt from my live daily radio show, The Brian Lehrer Show, on WNYC Radio, 10 a.m. to noon Eastern Time, if you want to listen live at WNYC.org. Thanks for listening today. Talk to you next time.